Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back to COVID Positive Radio this week. Day five. Doing much better, by the way. Praise the Lord. So, in my case, it's just fine. No big deal. We've heard from the president, obviously. We've heard from a lot of politicians. We've heard from so-called prophets. We've heard from pundits. We've heard from people on the right, from people on the left, from all over the map, right? But have you heard much of a pastoral response? Because I think more than anything, we need to hear from our pastors and our men of God, our leaders in the pulpit and in the church, as to how now shall we live as we deal with the frustration and the anger and the confusion and all the ideas out there and the conspiracy theories and the prophecies. And I was listening to some total whack jobs earlier today. That's my opinion. And even if Biden gets in, God's going to pull him out and install Trump back in there and just crazy stuff. So I would suggest over the weekend, perhaps we all back away from the social media trough. But I wanted today to hear from a couple of men of God that I deeply trust and respect. And one of them, not the least of which, would be Dr. Michael Brown, Line of Fire, who's on the radio right before me. Michael, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
Hey, great to be with you. Great to be on someone else's show on the same network.
Yeah, we'll flip the script here a little bit. Well, I know you've been taking some heat on Twitter and other places this week. You and I agree with you. I've been down the same road with you on some of the Trump stuff and the election and coming out a couple of days ago going, okay, guys, listen, Trump's not going to be the president on January 21st. And people just go ballistic about all that. And it's just wild. The spirit of confusion, which we know is not of the Lord. But a lot of people, a lot of us Christians are falling right into that. There's chaos and there's confusion, Michael. Help us to have some clear thinking here as followers of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so there's so many things going on. There's the question of political support for Trump at all. There's the question of where things could go under a President Joe Biden. Then there's the question of were there prophecies that Trump would be elected in 2016 that were strikingly accurate when it'd be crazy? Now the same people saying he'd be elected in 2020 and all them being wrong, and how do we sort that out? It's just massive deception and confusion. So there are a bunch of different things, but to me, here's where we break it down. I make no apologies for voting for Trump in 2016 and 2020. I could not vote Clinton or Joe Biden, and I did feel I should vote with the hope that he would keep his promises. And although I knew there would be collateral damage with the type of person that he was, the proverbial bull in a china shop, I felt that the good can outweigh the bad, and that's why I voted for him again in 2020, especially with radical left rising and being as dangerous as could be in so many ways. At the same time, I always had concerns about the collateral damage. I had concerns about us looking to Trump in a wrong way, as a political or a cult of personality where we would believe all else, and we're Christian leaders were even sacrificed their own ethics and integrity that they've been known for years to defend his nastiest tweet because to fight. So my own opinion is that if Trump had humbled himself and listened to some of the godly men around him and in his treatment of others just become a decent human being, I was vilified by the media, lied about Dana. I understand that.
Sure.
But if he just humbled himself, I'm not the great man, I didn't do it, I'm not the best president ever, humbled himself and become a decent human being, and if the church stopped looking to him in an idolatrous way, and which many, I believe, did, then I believe we could have had four more years of Trump, and whether it was electoral fraud or not, nothing could have stopped it. I ultimately believe that God said no to four more years of Trump. Whether it was fraud or not, it's totally separate. So much prayer, so much seeking of God, I personally believe that God said no to four more years of Trump for the reasons that I mentioned. As for the prophecies, I believe in New Testament prophecy. I'm a charismatic myself, but prophets don't lead the church. this is not just some independent arm that speaks and every belief. Prophetic ministry is just part of the body, part of another leadership function. Everything should be processed accordingly. And when people start saying you have to believe the prophets, that's where I say, no, you're mixing Old Testament with New. And if you want to carry the authority of an Old Testament prophet, fine. But if you miss it, you die. It's totally different now. And I believe I have insights as to how so many people could be so wrong. Part of it is you get caught up in a partisan political spirit and you don't even realize it. Part of it is we confuse God's intent with what he promises what will happen. Part of it is that Trump did so much good in fighting for causes for us that we aligned ourselves for him and with him and to prophesy into that. And then part of it, everybody's saying it. So there are many reasons why so many could be so wrong. But come January 20th, Steve, there are going to be people losing their faith in God. That's what concerns me. There are going to be people backsliding. There are going to be others that just throw out anything charismatic. And needless to say, our witness has taken a terrible hit through these years, all the more now.
Yeah, and it's really challenging because we get so many people, you've seen it on social media and on radio all week. I've been inundated with it in text messages and private messages and yada, yada, yada. It would appear to me that for a lot of evangelicals, at least the ones that I'm hearing from, seeing, paying attention to, reading, that the state of the nation, what's going on with Trump and Biden is like concern number one for us as Christians. And I caught myself earlier today, Michael, in doing show prep while I was still at home. For the first time in 24 hours, I stopped and I asked the question, gosh, I wonder if Ashley Babbitt, the woman that was a 14-year Air Force veteran who died at the Capitol building yesterday, I wonder if she knew the Lord. It took me 24 hours, Michael, to ask that question. And I love Jesus. And I'm on this radio station 5 days a week and doing all this stuff just like you do. And that and where she went in the blink of an eye was not my concern for 24 hours. I think I'm struggling with my priorities as well.
Yeah, well, it's easy to get caught up in this. In evangelicals at the crossroads, well, we passed the Trump test, my book that came out in the summer of last year. I laid out 10 steps that we had to take in order to pass the Trump test, which was to vote for him without losing our testimony, to unite around Jesus, even if we divided over Trump. And the first was we have to put the cross before the flag.
Yeah.
And then another was we have to put spiritual activity before political activity. And another was we can't get caught up in election fever.
You got a few more minutes, Michael?
Yeah, a few more minutes. I can stay with you.
I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Let me ask you a question I just asked myself earlier in the day, and we're going to get right back to Dr. Brown, Dr. Michael Brown, Line of Fire, radio program heard all over the nation, just does great work, godly man, great source of wisdom and encouragement and challenge. I've been listening to Michael for years, and we're going to get right back to him. But I told him just a few minutes ago, and I'll ask you this question. Did it ever occur to you, did you wonder if Ashley went to heaven? Did Ashley Babbitt know the Lord? Has anybody said that, asked that question in the last 24 hours? I just asked it of myself earlier today, sitting at my dining room table doing show prep. And then I stopped and repented and lamented and said, Lord, why is it that 24 hours later, after this woman is tragically shot and killed, am I just now wondering where she is? Are my priorities out of whack? And are yours? What do we do as the days get darker? We're talking to Dr. Michael Brown. This is Steve Noble. Again, Michael, thank you for being with us. I know how busy you are.
Yeah, Steve, I appreciate you sharing your heart in that. We have lost sight of eternity. It's almost like we see one extreme to the other. The other is, one is, you know, pie in the sky, get saved now, and just go to heaven, and we lose consciousness. We don't think about real justice in the world. We don't think about the poor and the hurting. We don't think about abortion. We just get saved and praise the Lord and go to heaven. And then the other extreme is we become so politicized, we lose sight of eternity. And the Russian is to live every day in light of eternity.
Right.
And it's often a difficult thing to hold. Because, look, you say, well, this is about shedding of innocent blood. It's about preserving religious liberty so that we can preach the gospel. Yes, but we still lose sight here. We look at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as people for whom Jesus died and he wants to save. Those who would not vote for them, those of us who did not for Barack Obama or for Hillary Clinton, do we look and say these are people for whom Jesus died, and some of them are just we were before we were saved? Do we pray for them the way we pray for Donald Trump because God raised up Trump? You know, we get so politicized that we fail to recognize America is a country on the planet. Yeah, I believe with a divine destiny, but another country on the planet, part of the world. The church is God's people in the midst of every nation on the earth, including America. God's kingdom is not to be confused with the American flag. So if we start with the kingdom, if we start with loving God and loving our neighbor, if we start with saying, okay, America is in crisis right now, what a great opportunity for evangelism, opportunity for helping people in confusion. Instead, we just polarize more. And then within the church, we're attacking each other, savaging each other. And my concern is, just like you, I'm not on the radio to get a name. We're obviously not on the radio to make money because we have to pay money to be on the radio.
That's right.
I want to help people. I want to serve people. I want to serve the body as you do. And that's when we do it. And how can we serve our neighbor right now when we're so polarized? And I posted an article, should get up on the stream within 2 hours. Can we agree on a few things? As believers, as fellow followers of Jesus, can we agree that we all need God right now badly, and we need each other? And, you know, just a few basic things, if we can start there and just calm down, step back, no matter who's in the White House, Jesus is Lord. No matter who's in the White House, our neighbor needs the gospel. If we could major on the majors, things would fall into place, and we could see a great move out. These times of confusion, these are great times for outpouring, but let's humble ourselves. Let's get God's heart. And yes, let's think about eternity. I so appreciate you drawing us back to that.
Yeah, and I often say this on the air, Michael, and thanks for the encouragement. I often say on the air, oftentimes I think we care more about America than we do Americans. And while America is important because America is made up of 340 million people made in the image of God who have inestimable worth, who Jesus died for, do you care more about saving Americans or saving America or seeing Americans saved? And I think right now we're praying for political answers, but we're neglecting the bigger issue, which is lostness. And lostness, people just act out of that. When a lemon tree bears lemons, it doesn't shock me. It's exactly what it's going to do. And so I think the biggest problem in America is largely we've become a secular nation. We've turned our back on God. And while the division in the political realm is terrible right now, the division inside the body of Christ is even worse. And Satan loves that even more than he loves the division inside the political world in America. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. The spirit of division has been rampant. As I said earlier, to me, passing the trust, part of that was, can we unite around Jesus, even if we divide over Trump? And, you know, I'm going to quote you. That's a great, simple line. We care more about America than about Americans. Because, look, bottom line is, America is here today and gone tomorrow. That all the nations, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Persian Empire, Babylonian Empire, Assyrian Empire, go back in history. They're all here today and gone tomorrow. That's the reality of the world. The name of Trump will be forgotten. All of our names will be forgotten. There's one name that we're going to worship and endure forever. And the ultimate question is, who will know him forever and ever?
Yeah.
The ultimate question is, when I stand before God, my life makes in the light of eternity. So it's not only evangelism and discipleship, but it starts there. Obviously starts with our own relationship with God and prayer and repentance. But then the question is, okay, Great Commission. If we could stay focused on the Great Commission and really make disciples, those disciples then in turn would be political leaders. They would be judges. They would be college professors. They'd be godly parents. So if we could look at the gospel in a holistic way and start there and move from there out, America could be greatly impacted.
Yeah, and I think that's a key message for all of us. And I think one of our challenges, Michael, is that we look for, hey, just give me a list of things to do, kind of like the rich young ruler, and I can go cross them off. And the challenge being a Christian is that we're called to so much more than one thing. You may have one thing that's on your heart that you're really pulled about, and that's fine, but you can engage the political realm and speak about it and study and engage that. But if you leave other things out, if you leave your own spiritual development, your own quiet time, your own Bible study, your own prayer life, and trying to lead others to Christ and disciple others, the challenge is we have to accept the fact that we have a lot of work to do in a lot of different realms, not just one thing. And I think we're looking for an easy way out.
Yeah. And again, we're looking to the government to fix things or to a person to fix things instead of realizing, okay, more important than the state of Congress, the state of the Supreme Court, who's in the White House, more important than that is the state of the church. Mm-hmm. I said for many years, I'm not so much concerned with the presence of darkness as much as I am with the absence of light.
Yeah.
We would get our lives in order before God. And here's a good thing. Starts with you and with me. Which I can't change all of America. I can't change my neighborhood. Can't change family. But I can change me with God's help. There's an old evangelist, Gypsy Smith, from generations ago, was asked, how do you pray for revival? He said, I draw a circle on the ground, go stand inside that circle. And then I said, God, revive everything in this circle.
Yeah.
So I've literally done that. The last house we lived in, my study, there was this little carpet next to one of the chairs on a floor, wood floor. And I would stand on that little piece of carpet late at night. It's just big enough for my feet. And I would say, God, revive everyone standing on this.
Amen.
If we start there, we'll be blessed.
Exactly. What a great word. Dr. Brown, God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate all your work.
God bless.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you later. We'll be right back with Pastor Chad Harvey right after this.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Well, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Never let it be said that I'm not a gambling man.
What, Steve? What, you gamble? You go to Las Vegas? What? I can't believe it.
So disappointed. No, easy. Keep your powder dry. So I go from having Dr. Michael Brown on, who's a charismatic, to going to having my good friend Pastor Chad Harvey on, who's a Pentecostal. So, see, there you go. I'm a gambling man. Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, previously known as RFA. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It's interesting days, to say the least, heartbreaking in some ways, but hopefully encouraging in others. So I was talking to Michael Brown first half of the show, just trying to get his perspective as a man of God from kind of a pastoral perspective about what do we do in the midst of this. So however you kind of want to unpack this as a pastor and looking at what just transpired, and there's the conspiracies and the prophecies and all this kind of stuff going on. And then there's just malaise, there's anger, there's desperation, people not knowing, we got to keep fighting, we got to keep doing, the political is everything. So talk about it personally for you, Pastor, as a pastor and as a man of God, as an individual Christian. And then from a pastoral perspective, and how do you kind of lead a church through these very challenging days?
Yeah, Stephen, so let's close out in a few minutes with, I'm going to give you just five very clear statements from Scripture. I mean, I believe God has the final word on how to handle these things. So before Amen. We close out, and I'll make it very quick, you know me, I'm concise. I'm going to give you five statements from the Word of God on how to handle this thing. But let me just say this real quickly, because I need to clarify this. I keep hearing people basically say, the evangelical church, y'all need to do a gut check for supporting Donald Trump, and maybe y'all learned your lesson. Hey, let me remind y'all, at the time, there was only one candidate that was standing for the sanctity of life, religious freedom, the support of Israel, the support of law enforcement. There was only one candidate. It's not like we had seven candidates to choose from. If Tulsi Gabbard had supported those things, I may have voted for her. So I don't want the church to beat itself up because some of us endorsed Donald Trump. At the time, we had no more choice. And so I don't really, if I had to do it over again, I would have done the same thing I did.
Yeah,
tell our church, vote biblically, vote righteously, and incidentally, I only see one platform that has that biblical viewpoint. The other thing, I keep hearing people say now the church is so divided and we need to get back and we need to be unified. I agree with that. Last thing Jesus prayed in John 17 is, Lord, make them one as you and I are one, Father. So I believe in the unity of the church. But let me just do a quick little caveat here. We don't compromise truth for the sake of unity. There's a false church and there's right, a true right. church out there. Raphael Warnock represents the false church. And so if unity, you know, because I'm an ordained minister and yet I believe in that's not the true church. And so let's just be really careful with this call of unity. If that means, so lay down your convictions on the sanctity of life, right. lay down your convictions on this whole Marxist, the BLM thing, I don't know that the Lord wants us to compromise unity or compromise truth for the sake of unity. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
So I think we're on the same page. I think everybody listening is on the same page, but I think we just need to clarify. But look, Steve, my response from what happened Wednesday, number one, we've got to condemn it. God's people never riot. We never burn things down. We never tear things up. It's kind of interesting. History does repeat itself. John Knox had to tell his Scottish reformers the same thing. He had Scottish reformers going outside the bounds of the law, and Knox was like, arrest them. Martin Luther was actually even more brutal, and he told the government, crack down on the peasants, even though they're my supporters, and it resulted in the peasants' revolt, and I think 100,000 peasants in Germany were killed, and these are Luther's supporters. And so I do think biblically and historically we have a mandate to say God's people handle things differently. We don't tear things down. We don't storm the Capitol. We don't burn things. I do want to ask this because, you know, some folks fussed me a few weeks ago. They justified the Portland, Seattle, downtown Raleigh rioting and looting. People asked me this or told me this. Chad, when people don't feel like they're being heard, well, sometimes they have to riot.
Right.
Okay, I want to ask y'all. Y'all feel the same way now?
Yeah.
When people aren't being heard, they still have the right to tear things down? I mean, I want to say to folks who justified violence a few months ago, you know, maybe you just need to sit back, shut your mouth, and contemplate the new normal that you've created. I mean, welcome to the world y'all have created for the rest of us.
Exactly right. I mean, that's the duplicity of the moment and what's been going on all year is you champion it when it's your cause that you get behind, but you decry it when it's not. It all depends on whose ox is getting gored. And the one thing that the vast majority of Americans on both sides lack these days, and I say this all the time on the air, is intellectual honesty. Everybody is kind of confirmation biasing their way through everything. And you go, listen, if you're a Christian, you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, then you call balls and strikes based on the word of God. It does not matter who's standing at the plate, which is what makes us prophetically dangerous to both sides, because we'll call it out regardless of whose ox is getting gored. That's the prophetic edge that we have to have. So if you're all Trump all the time, you're blowing it. If you're all Biden all the time, you're definitely blowing it. For us to do it right, you better be upsetting people on both sides of the aisle. That's a pretty good barometer that you're holding fast to the truth.
Yeah, well, I love what Pastor Doug Wilson said, Steve. He said, look, you cannot normalize violence as a standard tool for politics and then be shocked when others take you up on your standing invitation. And
exactly.
So, look, I've got a solution. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Let me give you my solution, and it will help us all with this thing, okay? Why don't we as a society come up with a list of rules? I don't know. Let's call them, I don't know, laws. And everybody's expected to follow those laws, whether you're a BLM supporter or a Trump supporter, whether you're a Republican or Democrat. We're all going to follow those laws, and if we break those laws, we will be punished equally. Do you think that might solve our problem?
Well, hasn't that been tried?
Well, I don't know that it was tried this last summer. I saw people setting up their own country in downtown Seattle, and they're getting away with it for weeks and weeks. So, but as people of God, just fundamentally, we're people of law. We're people of order. I call people out in July, September when they violated that. I'm calling people out now in Washington. In January, as people of God, we believe in objective truth. We believe in the rule of law, and so whatever. But all right, look, Steve, can I give you? Because here's your question: from a pastoral standpoint, what are you telling your church? I do believe this. I do believe we're seeing prophecy starting to play out right before our very eyes. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I do believe that these are signs of the last days. And so how do we – the question is, all right, then how do we live in these last days? And I'm going to give you five answers straight from the Bible, okay? Number one is, hey, the church, we got to be holy. Romans 13 says, the night is nearly over. The day of judgment is almost here. Okay, so if you believe that we're in the last days, Paul says, look, I'm talking to you. The day of judgment is almost here. So what do? Let's lay aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let's behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. If the church really believes that what is happening right now is the prelude to the final countdown, then number one, we've got to live holy lives.
Yeah,
and
amen.
I'm sorry, every objective standard or every objective a study on the spiritual health of the church, we're just as messed up as the rest of the world.
Yep.
And so I would say, number one, we've got to be holy. Number two, Steve, if these are the last days, we got to be serious. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, all right, the end of all things is near. In other words, if you believe that what we're seeing are the signs that things are winding down, the end of all things are near, what do? Peter says, look, therefore be sober, that is, be serious. Steve, look, I think our days of churches being built on skits and entertainment and silliness, and our youth ministries are built on let's hit the youth minister with a pie in the face and let's just play silly games. I really think those days might be over. This coming Sunday, y'all may not want to come to RFA because I'm going to be preaching on hell. I just really believe if these are the last days, it's time to get serious and talk about heaven and hell and eternity. If these are the last days, number one, be holy. Number two, be serious. Number three, pray. Again, 1 Peter 4:7, that same passage. If these are the last days, be sober for the purpose of prayer. I told the church this several months ago, Steve. Our nuclear weapon in our arsenal is not our voting power. Our nuclear weapon is prayer and fasting. And so we got to pray. And then number four, go to church. Hebrews 10:25 says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together, some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Yeah, it's good.
So the author of Hebrews, or as Raphael Cleaver likes to put it, Hebrews, says, if we really believe these are the last days, stop staying at home in front of your computer. We got to gather together.
Hey, hold that thought there, Chad. I'm up against the break, all right? I'm going to put you on hold, then we'll come back and finish that up. Is that cool?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, hold right there. Talking to Pastor Chad Harvey, he said RFA, that's so 2020. It's Cross Assembly now. Crossassembly.org happens to be where we go. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, pushing into the weekend. The first week of 2021. How's it going? Week in 2020. Look, pretty calm, really. In hindsight. Anyway, that's all joking aside. Obviously, we're in a very serious season, but every once in a while, it's okay. Don't sell your joy down the river for a bowl of stew like Esau did. And remember whose you are, what you have to look forward to, what you already have. And the Word of God and the Spirit that's inside of you. So remember all that, okay? And I'm going to get right back here to Pastor Chad Harvey, who is the senior pastor at Cross Assembly, RFA. That's so 2020, right? Cross Assembly is the church, crossassembly.org, one of the churches here in the Triangle area that's wide open and preaching wide open. As you can tell, if you've heard Chad on the show, who's been on many times before. And then I'm going to pull him back in here in just a second. But I know, Chad, you can hear me. So let me just set this up, because Chad's taken us through five clear statements from the Word of God. Assuming we are pushing into the last days, which we can always say that, but let's all admit, we've never sensed it as much as we do now. Okay, so I'm just going to go with that, because theoretically, theologically, actually, we are closer to Jesus' return now than we were a year ago, than we were a week ago. But obviously, it looks like, and not just here in America, sometimes we act like Christians in America, we act like the whole prophetic calendar and eschatology revolves around the city of God is going to be landing in Washington, D.C. It isn't, okay? And for me, as a Caucasian believer, I have to remember, in the grand scheme of things, in the body of Christ worldwide, I'm like a spot in the buttermilk. So it's we got to quit being so American-centric. But there are things going on all around the world. Obviously, just go spend some time studying the Great Reset, which you would think was like in the subnotes in a study Bible somewhere in the book of Revelation. And that stuff's all happening, okay? So assuming that that's where we're at, these are these five statements. I'm going to set this up. I mentioned this the other day from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. And here's the Lord's answer. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Well, what if the work that the Lord wants to do in our days isn't based on what happens in Washington, D.C., but what happens in our individual walks with Jesus Christ, our stated Lord and Savior? So in light of that, Pastor Chad, welcome back.
Hey, great to be back, Steve.
Okay, so setting all that up, we were talking about five clear statements from the Word of God responding to what's going on in this present darkness. It's like a tale of two cities, the best of times, worst of times. Assuming that, obviously, last days things are speeding up right now, I think you'd be a fool to not admit that. Be holy, be serious, be sober for prayer. Go to church was number four, which for some people, I think, don't we need to see pastors now start to say, okay, government, nice try, I'm opening. We're going to church.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, Steve, all these statements are, it's almost as if the Bible is saying, okay, if you really think you're living in the last days, I want to direct these five statements to you. These aren't just Bible verses I just pulled out of the air. These are Bible verses specifically targeting to believers who are living in the last days. And so that number four, you know, Hebrews 10:25, we'll keep quoting that, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But the very last part of that verse is, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. In other words, if you believe these are the last days, come back to church. And I'm telling you, if you're afraid of getting COVID, if you're old, if you're not, if you have a propensity toward corpulency, if you've got pre-existing conditions.
Well done. Well played. Good job.
Okay. Yeah. Stay away from church. Otherwise, you need to be back in church. And then number five is, if these are the last days, share the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul says to Timothy, look, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead. And then he says this, in view of his appearing and his kingdom. In other words, if you believe he's coming back, then I give you this charge. You got to proclaim, preach the word of God. That's not just for pastors. That's not for radio hosts. That's for all of us. Darla and I this morning, we launched a family from our church who they're going to a Muslim and Islamic country. Mm. And people would ask, why in the world, in the middle of COVID and all this unrest in America, would you launch a family from your church to go full-time live in a Muslim country? Because if people are dying faster from COVID, we got to get the gospel faster out Amen. There. If people are going to hell, now here's the problem. Steven, to be brutally honest, we as the evangelical church, I don't know that we really think that people who die without Jesus go to hell. If we really believe that, and we believe that Jesus is coming back soon, and that day of judgment is coming soon, I think maybe our priorities would be different.
Yeah.
And man, I was cut to the heart. I was convicted when you told the girl that got killed in the Capitol. You know what? I did not even ask where did she go until you mentioned that with Dr. Brown. And that really convicted me.
Yeah, and that's that's what I'm here for, to make you feel really bad. But that's the reality. I mean, when the ship is sinking, and it is, and if you want to talk about the ship being the United States of America or the overall condition of the world, both apply, both are true. Do you throw them in the American context? Hey, the ship's sinking. People are going to drown. Let me throw you a U.S. Constitution. No, you don't throw them the Constitution.
Right.
You throw them the only thing that's going to save them, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we get rewarded forever for just being faithful with that, who God chooses to enable to believe and all of that, which is a whole other subject. But But that's up to him. But we're called to be faithful, especially as the days are dark. And you're right. We don't really believe in hell. Otherwise, we'd be telling way more people and like the Barna numbers. And Barna, for years, has always made money on bad news. So I always take it with a grain of salt. But you know, 90% of believers never personally share the gospel with anyone. So I would just ask all of us right now, what percentage of your social media posts have been gospel-centric versus politically-centric? What percentage of your conversations are political versus gospel? How often are you lamenting over lost Americans versus lamenting over America? And wow. Listen, I'm more guilty than the next person because I'm a bigger hypocrite because I'm sitting on this radio show 5 days a week. And we need to share the gospel as if people's lives depended on it because they do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, that's true. And Steve, look, this, all right, when you asked me, hey, you know, would you be on the show, whatever, I was praying about this, and this thought hit me, okay? No, listen, I don't know if I can articulate this well or not, but I would have been better off as an American citizen had Trump been elected, but I'm better off as a citizen of the kingdom of God now that Biden's been elected. I think Trump really gave the evangelical church a false sense of security and apathy. Now, particularly with what happened in Georgia, it's about to get you're about to see a sifting take place in the church.
My goodness.
You're about
yep.
to see the church get serious. So I think, honestly, all the metrics are going against evangelical Christianity, and yeah. I think we're going to thrive in that kind of environment. I think I said this the last time I was with you. Got a friend that ministers in a Muslim context. He said power brings out the true nature of Islam. Weakness and persecution brings out the true nature of Christianity.
Wow. How about that? Yeah. And that's been true since Jesus exemplified it himself.
And
the
right.
meekness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who could have called down 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. And let's all remember that. Pastor Chad, so great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in today. And I won't be in church on Sunday, hashtag cuz COVID, but we'll be back as soon as possible. And I really appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, Steve. Bye.
Bye, pal. Talk to you later. Bye. And that's a great word from Pastor Chad Harvey. You're like, man, I really like that guy. Well, if you're in the Triangle, go to crossassembly.org and you can come out on Sunday because they're wide open. And you can come out there and praise the Lord, but don't expect to feel comfortable. Everybody's going to love you well. It's a very welcoming, loving church, a lot of fun. But Pastor Chad Harvey's not worried about whether he's going to step on your shoes or your toes. He fears not man, but God. So just there you go. There's your warning. On that point, when he said the sifting and the brutal, this is going to happen, okay? And I'm like, okay, good. Bring it. I want to bring it. Okay, I'm ready for that. Are you? So this was the political director for ABC News based in Washington, D.C., this is what he tweeted, okay? And then they erased it. This was 7:31 a.m., I think, yesterday. Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump, excuse me, is the easy part. Now listen, cleansing the movement he commands is going to be something else. And then they changed that language later. Because you don't want to talk about cleansing, because that sounds like ethnic cleansing. But that's exactly what the devil wants to do, and he'll use Democrats and the mainstream media to do it. And then I was listening to Glenn Beck earlier today, and he was, you know, Glenn Beck tends to be a little dramatic, but he was saying, okay, he got a phone call, and then he was like, okay, the day has come. I'll tell you in 20 minutes. You know, it's good radio. Keep everybody tuned in. I've been telling you this for years. It's begun. It's here. So then he's talking about, he references a Daily Beast, wrote a smear piece about a guy named Elijah Schaefer. Elijah Schaefer is one of these guys that's out there in the middle of all the muck, taking video. He's a believer. He's conservative. And so he was in the midst of everything yesterday in D.C. So the Daily Beast writes a smear piece about him entitled, Glenn Beck employee boasts of breaching Nancy Pelosi's office alongside revolutionaries. You can see where they're going with that, right? So he says they're coming after Elijah Schaefer, who was in there because he has press credentials and Capitol Hill press credentials as well. So he's in there cataloging everything. So now they're going to go after him. CNN is going to investigate him. That's what they want to do. They're going to go after The Blaze. CNN's leading the charge to find out why Newsmax is still being carried by AT&T. They're going to go after Clear Channel to go dump Rush. Money doesn't talk, it screams, Glenn Beck said. So they're going to go after sponsors and everything. And then here I am, this little Christian radio guy. So I'm not big on the radar screen, but I guarantee you if you name the name of Jesus and if you supported Trump at some level, especially at a spiritual level, you are the enemy to those that are still held captive by the one enemy we actually do have. This is going to get worse, but the power of God will only be magnified if we are but faithful. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.